All right, welcome back. You filled up with sugar? Is your sugar gauge on F? Yeah. Or your sleeping gauge is about to be on too. Well, all right. Well, let's why don't we just open with a word of prayer and then we'll get started back up. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this second session, for the time that we have together to fellowship with you and with each other, and just pray that we can stay true to your word, stay on the path that we're called to be on. And I just know that your plan is awesome, and we just always are amazed at the things that you do and can do. So we thank you, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are back to looking at Ephesians temporarily, and what we're seeing is that the gospel and being prepared with it is something that we've got to have close to us, as close as our shoes are to us, right? Bound to our feet. And that's important because I think that gives you the awareness of how critical it is and how important and readily available it should be, because it's so widely needed. And that's the point, I think, of that being bound with you. So anyways, something to think about. So I think the first, if we're going to have a major point in this study, is that evangelizing people is the responsibility of all Christians. Not just the pastor, the evangelist, the guy in ministry, the guy that studies his Bible, the guy that likes to talk to people, the guy that's social. You know, I'm a hermit. I can't evangelize people. Sorry. You can't pull that card. It's the responsibility of all Christians. And you know, God understands your personality. He knows you're a hermit, if you are a hermit. And he'll provide you a one-on-one conversation with people that you can talk to on your level. And that's the beauty of it. God knows who we are and what makes us uncomfortable. And he knows what environment we need to flourish in. And so he'll provide it. If you need a stadium, he'll give you a stadium. If you need one person in a closed room, he'll give you one person in a closed room. So that's how God operates. And he will definitely use it if you're willing to give it to him. So Peter wrote, as you know, First and Second Peter, and his audience was Christians. And I just wanted to read a couple verses for you because this has to do with our particular topic, and we need to look at this. I don't know if you can read this; it's kind of small, but it says, "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed." And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. So, you notice that we do have some things that go are in with our same topic of evangelizing. And the reason Peter says, do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled when it comes to these topics with Christians, is because Christians are fearful and do get troubled when it comes to preparation, when it comes to talking about their faith, when it comes to the gospel message. It's something that creeps in and it disrupts our opportunities that we have whenever we're given them. So I would say many Christians feel this exact way. And that's why Peter mentioned it here. Because there were Christians he was talking to and they were fearful and they were troubled about their faith, about standing on their faith, about some of them had converted over to the new Christianity, right? Or the a new faith for them. And you're not always very comfortable in, especially when it comes to other people. You know, you ever know someone who has been brought up in a certain religion and then separated from that religion, and then they're almost like an outcast to certain members in their family. So when we get around people like that, we can sometimes allow them to cause fear and intimidation inside of us. It can happen. It can happen. So that's the idea here. And, you know, if this is very... hits very close to home, I think, for everybody. So a very literal translation of this would be, do not fear their fear. That's exactly what it says. You see in verse 14, the second line down, it says, and do not fear their intimidation. The word is, do not fear their fear, is what it literally says. But obviously it's easier to understand. Do not fear the fear that they cause you, which is why we're intimidated. Do not fear that the fear that they can cause, possibly cause you. That's what he's telling them not to fear. And, you know, we're talking about people. So I'm not saying that certain people are not intimidating, because they certainly are. Right? I mean, some people have an intimidating personality by its very nature. Some people have an intimidating appearance, right? So when you get in a room and you're with these people, you might have a tendency to get intimidated. And fear can creep in. And I'm not saying that there's not people that are that way by their nature. What I'm saying is, how do you react to that intimidation that they're portraying, or that they may come off as being? Because the reality is, they may be intimidating, but you don't have to be intimidated. So the point of this, do not fear their intimidation, is just that, just what Paul's saying. We're not saying that there is no people that are intimidating, because there are, and there will be. Those aren't going to go away. But it's what you do with that. Another part of this conversation, I think, that needs to be mentioned is that fear and intimidation can not only come from other people, but it can originate from ourselves. It can originate from ourselves. Sometimes it can come from other people, right? We can fear somebody that we're, you know, scared to talk to. Maybe they have that certain personality that just doesn't agree with yours, or, you know, maybe just it's just the type of person that you're around. But there's also a fear that comes from within us that has nothing to do with the person. It's something that we cause, and that we allow to fester and to manifest into something that we shouldn't. And many times the reason that happens is because we are improperly prepared. Do you realize that when you're improperly prepared, you're not as confident as you would be otherwise? Guarantee it. Ever say, yep, I've experienced that. Ever given some type of presentation, or turned in a paper, or taken a test, or gone in front of people and been unprepared, or been prepared? You know the difference. You see, it's easy to allow fear and intimidation and trouble to creep in when you're unprepared, because there's a reason to be fearful, because you're not prepared with the things you should be prepared with in the times in which you need them. And that comes from us. See, we're responsible for the preparation, right? So I just wanted to point that out, because fear can come in a few different ways. Even though you could say, well, we're the ones that allow people to intimidate us, that's true. It still comes from here. In both cases, it comes from here, but it can start with other people, and then you can allow that to right, manifest itself into something else. Or it may not have anything to do with them and just start here with me, because I'm not prepared. And here we go. I'm in a situation where someone's asking me questions, and oh no, I'm nervous and I'm fearful, and let's just cancel this whole deal, right? Where's the rope pull, and you go down the trap door and you disappear. Sometimes, you know, we may hope that sometimes, right? So lack of preparation is something to keep in mind, because it makes us susceptible to being intimidated. That's exactly what it does. It makes us susceptible. And we don't want to be vulnerable in that way. You don't want to be vulnerable in that way. And I realize that none of us have all the right answers. None of us do, right? But if you stay on the topic at hand, the priority of Christ, you can make a lot more headway than entertaining subjects that are meaningless to the main subject. Because there's too many things that we don't know. We're not scientists. We're not philosophers. We're not all theologians. Well, I would argue that case. You are. You study God's Word. But we're not all those professions that are in those fields. There's a lot of side issues that you can go into when someone's talking about faith. We don't have all the answers. And they're looking sometimes for things like evidence. They're looking for evidence. They want to know who and what and if and when and where and how did all this happen. And so you have to be able to be confident in what you know and what you're going to do with what you know. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is instrumental in that process. Because without the Holy Spirit guiding you and leading you, allowing you to serve through God's power, these things are not possible. You're going to rely on your own power, in your own understanding, in your own reasoning, and you're going to fail. And that's what we don't want. We don't want. See, you can't think about what if, what if, what if, what if, or you'll never get to the scenario that God is trying to get you to be in, because you're always thinking about what if. What if they ask me this? What if they ask me that? What if, you know, what if I get this? Or what? I mean, what if? How about put that in God's hands and go with it? And that's the idea here. So we don't want to be intimidated, but I'm giving you the solution to that. Be prepared. Preparation. And there's only so much you can prepare with, right? We all know that we can't prepare all day, every day. We've got lives, we have work, we have stuff to do, we have to take breaks, we have things that we have to... But at the same time, there needs to be some time set apart, which I know you do. I've seen you before. So I know you prepare. I know that you have a desire to prepare in God's Word, to be able to at least live by that Word. And that's that willingness that I'm talking about. So that's huge. So we could say this study that we're doing is to help us in this area so that we don't have to feel intimidated. I think that's a good thing. We don't have to feel intimidated or become fearful about where God is going to put us or who we're going to talk to or how we're going to act, you know, what we're going to say. You know, we can go around the horn on things that we might do or should do. So, and I think when we do that, when we're prepared, guess what you become? Comfortable. Confident. You know, it's okay to say, I don't know. Are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. That's okay. It's okay. You know, I think it actually shows a realness of someone's character, the humility that someone has to say, I don't know. But you know what? Maybe we can find that answer. You know what? That's a good question. That's a good question. And I would like to know that too. Because if we're on the same course, we're all trying to find out the same information and we both don't know, let's go find that answer, right? And if it's an irrelevant, something that doesn't really pertain to the subject, you've got to learn how to work those things out too. Maybe that doesn't need to be answered. I mean, there's certain things that just don't need to be answered because they have nothing to do with what we're talking about. And I'm not saying be rude or just ignore them, but there's certain things where you've got to steer in a little bit different direction instead of the things that have no meaning, right? Some people have a lot of questions. But, you know, we've got to be comfortable and confident. And obviously, a sin comes to mind when that seems to be very prevalent when we're talking about this. And when we're talking about other people, and when we're talking about Jesus Christ, and that's anger. Anger. You're going to deal with some angry people. I'm talking about not necessarily reacting off what you say. I'm talking about just by their nature, they are angry. And they've got a good reason to be angry. They don't have a God that they believe in that has saved them. They don't have any hope. They're dealing with a mean world, an evil world that is constantly beating them up, and they have no relief from the pressure of sin. I'd be mad too. I'd be bitter as all get out. So when you begin to talk to people like this, you've got to take that into consideration. There's going to be people that are bitter, especially bitter towards hypocritical Christians like yourself. They don't know you from the moon. They know what you believe in. They may know what you stand for. So they automatically pin something that they think you are. Just another one of those hypocrites. So, you know, there's a lot that we have to think about when it comes to not necessarily what people think about you, but that is part of it. I think that does come into play. Because, you know, you can very quickly react to someone's anger, react to someone's bitterness. You can stop the conversation. You can say, you know what, you can lose your patience. You can, and I think there's a big difference here in someone that's angry and wanting to know the truth versus someone that's angry and just heckling. They're not interested in Jesus Christ. They're not interested in finding who the real God is. They're not interested in if God exists. They've already rejected it in their mind. And so to pick up on that is part of our job. You have to realize if someone is someone really interested in finding the truth? And the reality is you're going to experience both across the board, and we still have a job to do in every single case. In every single case. Because remember, the Holy Spirit's responsible for convicting someone of their position in that sin that's beating them up, constantly beating them up with no relief. So you can't convict them, but you can help them. And God will use you to help them. Help them with the good news. So anyways, just want to point that out because, you know, you'll deal with a lot of people, and a lot of people in this world are very, very angry. Angry. I mean, when you don't, you know, and I think that's the normal reaction when you don't have a solution to sin. The normal reaction is to get angry because it just doesn't make sense. To have a sin nature and, you know, this isn't normal. This isn't perfect. This isn't right. It's not fun. Where's the relief? Where's the solution? This isn't how it, because it didn't start this way. God didn't create us this way. Sin is not right. It shouldn't be here, but it is here. And that's where Jesus Christ comes in, right? It's a problem that has a solution. Well, if you don't have that solution, there you go. Anger. Bitterness. So, normal result. It's sin reacting to sin, right? It's a constant circle. There's no happiness. There's the only other option is anger, hate, discord in their soul. That's it. And sometimes they lash out, but I'm just letting you know. So, and then it says, you see this next part? Not only are we to do not be fear their intimidation, do not be troubled. And this means to not be stirred up or to have inward turmoil or to be unsettled is what this means. Very easy to do. Very, very easy to get unsettled, as you well know. And there's many things that can cause this too. Many, many things can cause us to be a little flustered when it comes to dealing with people, when it comes to dealing with faith. Do you realize that a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about faith? A lot of people are very, very uncomfortable with the subject at all. Even the name Jesus Christ, talking about religion, right? They always say religion and politics, leave them out, right? And, you know, we get that because a lot of people are uncomfortable talking about it. Why? Because there's differences of opinion. There's differences of opinion. Do you realize that the truth slices right through that? It does. If someone has an idea about something, that's one thing, if they have an opinion. But you and I want to know the truth. And if they want to know the truth, they will be interested and open to talking about it. At least hearing about it. At least hearing about it. And you know what? An ear is better than nothing. It's better than nothing, right? They don't have to be looking at you. They can be mad as all get out, have their eyes closed. But they can hear you. They can hear you. So don't be troubled. And you know what? Didn't we just talk about application that solves these problems right here? We did. Fear, intimidation, and being troubled are applying God's word to be able to not do these things. Not do these things. So, I mean, come on. We don't have any excuse. We just talked a lot about this. But these are really a lack of application. This is what fear, intimidation, and being troubled look like for a Christian. They're not applying the Word of God. They're not trusting. They're not having faith in what God is doing and can do in that situation. And what happens? You get scared. You get troubled. You start to fall apart. Because you're looking at, you got your eyes on the people, you got your eyes on the circumstances. So, anyways, we don't have any more excuses. So instead of fear, intimidation, and trouble, what's the alternative? Look at verse 15. And this is what the kind of thinking looks like that we need to be in and think with to be able to properly do evangelizing, or to properly evangelize. It says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So the first part of this, I would say, is the alternative, and it's actually a command. So we can't just call it an alternative. It says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart. In your hearts. And you've all seen this word, sanctify. It's one that's very familiar because it's a word that means, well, sometimes it's translated holy, but it's the word that, the Greek word hagiazo, and it means to make holy or to set apart or to dedicate. That has meaning when it comes to Jesus Christ and what he means to you. Not what he is and what he does mean, what he means to you and me. It says, sanctify Christ. Did I not move on? I guess I didn't highlight that one. Sanctify Christ is actually the command. So this is not something that is actually, this is our responsibility to do this. And didn't we just talk about this earlier? It's how we think about Christ, who he is, and what he means to us. And the importance of that. So, and all this is saying is getting and setting your spiritual eyes on Jesus Christ. The focus. He's the focus of your day. He's the focus of your life. He's the focus of everything. Because it's his word by which we're studying. You realize these words are from Jesus Christ? He was the God man who came to the earth to die. But he is truth. And this is his word that we're studying. And I don't mean in the English language, but it's his word in the original languages. This is just a translation, but we all know that we can study the original. We have direct contact with the Word of God. I mean, you know, there's power to that. So we're studying his mind every time we get together, and setting him apart is something that I think is not only getting our priorities straight in life, but it's not making him holy, but it makes him holy to us. to us individually. This, see how it's personal now? It's personal. What you think about Christ may be different from what you think about Christ. Has nothing to do with what Christ really is. This is what you think about Him. So in order to sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart is exactly what it means. Are you dedicating a certain whatever of your life towards Him? Have you given that to Him? Maybe, maybe not, right? But I think when this happens, when we sanctify, when we set Him apart as a priority in our heart, in our soul, in our mind, right? When that happens, then what happens? Your decisions and how you live are indicative of that setting Him apart. See how it just comes out of you what's important to you. It's not just an accident that you're living as a Christian and you're obedient to the Word of God. That's not just an accident. It's because you're sanctifying Christ as Lord in your heart. Because you know all the lordship salvationists love to use this verse, right? This is not a salvation verse. This is for believers in Jesus Christ right here. You realize there's some Christians that aren't sanctifying Christ as Lord in their hearts? No surprise. We have a sin nature. We're all capable of falling off and getting off track. But what I'm telling you is, if you're consistent, this is not only possible, but a reality for the believer who chooses to continue. That's it. Just continue in the right direction. You will. You don't have a choice. You're going to. You will set apart the most important person in the universe, in your own personal life. Why? Because you learn more about Him and you realize how magnificent He is and how much He loved you before you were even in existence. So I would say that is something to sanctify Him for. But I think most importantly, what He did for you. He died. Not just physically, He died spiritually for the sins of not just one sin, all sins for all people. Opens the gates. It opens the door. Well, there's a reason to sanctify Him. There's so many reasons on why we should sanctify Christ. So it keeps going back to what you think about Him and how important He is to you. I can tell you He's important, but is He important to you and me? That's the question. So, and when He is, guess what? The dedication to Him becomes real. That's what really, what service is all about. Talking about serving the Lord, well, you've got to be dedicated to do that. And you have to sanctify Him in your hearts to be able to even get to that mentality. Otherwise, you know, yeah, they can have that. I'm not that serious of a Christian. Don't look at me and say, what? Been there, done that. That's for the ones that are serious. That looks like too much. I'm not sure. I'm not ready for all that yet. What's important to you? I mean, isn't that the real question? It's obviously not Christ. Because if we truly realized, I mean, I'm talking about real, who Christ was and what He did, we would be much different and the decisions that we make and how we interact with people than we are without those true understandings. And that's really all this is about, I think, is coming to a better understanding about who Christ is and what He did for us. So you know it. I know we know these things, but do we understand them in here? In here. And I think, obviously, if you sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, guess what you want to do? Talk about Him. You want to talk about Him. You want to tell people about Him because you're excited about what He's done and you know absolutely that it is the single best gift that anybody can receive on this earth. And you want to tell people about it. You want to give it to people. Because the other option is staying lost, staying without any hope, staying miserable without the ability to be happy, and eventually going to be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. That's really what death is. I'm talking about forever. God is gracious. He gives us time to be able to make a decision for Him or against Him. And you are right in the middle of that. This is a spiritual war that we're in, and you fall right in the center of that with the gospel message. That's how important this is. That's how critical it is to be able to realize that God has given us this, and we're defeating the enemy every time, not only the gospel is presented, but when someone believes in Jesus Christ for their personal salvation, it's game over. Satan cannot stand it. That's a double defeat for him. Christ defeated him on the cross, and now he's defeated in that person's life individually. He's limited at that point. He's neutralized. He can only do so much to that person. Now that person is a born-again believer. A born-again believer. That's God, the Holy Spirit, indwelling that person. I'm not saying they're not going to mess up. What I'm telling you is Satan is limited. He's lost his powerless, right? Against what he would like to do. So you got to think about those things, because what becomes of minimal importance to you is the surroundings and the type of people you encounter when you sanctify Christ in your heart. You realize that the surroundings don't really mean much. You realize that where you live and what you live in don't really have much meaning. You realize the people that you're going to encounter really don't mean anything. Those aren't the priorities. And when we get our eyes on where we're at, what we're dealing with, what we're wearing, what we have, we've gotten our priorities wrong. God wants to use you. If He wants to use you to go be on the road and build tents and go from city to city to serve Him, well, that's what He wants to do. We cannot get our priorities on things or on people. See, sanctifying Christ as Lord in your heart includes that, by the way. It does. It does include that. It includes the fact that these things that we live in and live with and people that we're going to have to serve on this earth are not the priority. The priority is always the Lord Jesus Christ. Always. And I'm not saying those things aren't important. But do you see what's more important? What's more important than those things? Because you're going to have to deal with all those things that I just talked about. But you know how quickly we can allow those things to get us troubled in here, unsettled? We can get really frustrated about where we are, about our position, the things that we have in life, where we stay, where we live, our work, our friends, our different things. We can get really, really frustrated when we get our eyes on the wrong things. And I think it keeps you from seeing the reality of where God wants you to serve and what He wants you to truly do. They can be distracting. I mean, we get so wound up in thinking about where we wish we were. It's distracting. Believe me, I know. Or as the verse says, we should be worried about this part right here, the yellow part. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. Guess what? If you haven't sanctified Christ as Lord in your heart, this second part isn't going to become true. Right? You got to have A before you have B. So, and I have to tell you that this word always means always. Always. It does. It's kind of like bounding the gospel of peace to your feet, to you, in your soul, keeping it with you wherever you go, just like your shoes. Guess what? Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks. Always. I mean, that's always. We can't get around the word always. We just can't do it. So you could say to be ready for the believer is a state we have to be in. We have to be ready at all times. Now, to me, instantly, I think of the filling of the Holy Spirit. instantly. That is a state. That is a state. You're never halfway filled with the Spirit. You're either filled with the Spirit or you're not. And you know what interrupts that state? Sin. But we all know how to deal with that. We do it before every class at session one, right? So being ready has a lot to do with God making you ready. Actually, it has everything to do with it, doesn't it? It does. It does. Everything to do with God. But again, He's given us steps how to do that. We can just say, I don't want to do that, right? And I think this is the only way to do it. So the word defense here, you see this word defense, always, this is what you're always to be ready for, to make a defense. It just means, the Greek word is apologia, and it means to speak or a speech in defense. That's what the word means. To speak in defense of something. Which means that we should be able to justify what you believe in, justify your faith, and justify the reasons why you believe in it. That's fair. That's general. I didn't say you have to know everything about it. That's not what this is saying. This is saying always being ready to make a defense. Notice it doesn't tell us the content. It just tells us that we need to sanctify Christ in our hearts. Put Him number one, which means you're going to be filled with the Spirit if He's number one. And then you're ready. You're ready. You're growing. You have the information. Do you realize that God controls the situations that you find yourselves in? God is in control of the people that are presented to you in your life. So you know He knows what content you have in your brain and what content you don't. And you're going to be ready with whatever person He presents to you and allows you to serve Him in with. So it's good to know that, because that's relaxing to think that God will never throw somebody at you that you could not be prepared for. Won't happen. Will never happen. Not at all. And look what we're giving an account of. The hope that is in us. The hope that is in you. And as you know, that hope is Jesus Christ. That's the hope. That is the hope. It's who He is. It's how He feels. It's how He thinks. Those are the things that some of the things that we should be aware of when it comes to giving an account of Him, of the hope. It's about knowing what makes your faith real. What makes your faith work? We should be able to talk about that. It's the object of your faith. He's the one of why our faith is even able to be anything. It's because of Him. Because of who He is. And honestly, I think we need to know how He feels about sin. And we need to know how He feels about sinners. Just something we need to probably be aware of. Because we are not only sinners, but we're dealing with someone that's lost in that sin. Something to be aware of. And you also need to know what He did to fix our relationship with Him. What He did to fix it. So if we're going to give an account, that's maybe some of the things we might want to know. And I think we should be able to give someone enough information that will help them in their spiritual journey to move to the next level, which is to the truth. Ultimately, we're making our way to the truth, which is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. And no one comes to the Father except through Him, right? So if He's the truth, we're making our way to the truth of God's Word, which is Jesus. It all is focused on Jesus Christ. Notice the verse said, did you see that word? The verse said, to make a defense to everyone who asks, to ask. Isn't that interesting? So apparently, there's some interest there. there's going to be some interest. Because they're going to be asking. I think that's encouraging. Because you don't just have to go and yell at people when they don't want to hear it. And you know what? If you're filled with the Spirit and you're called to do that, you should do that, do it. But what I'm telling you is that this verse is saying we should be prepared to anyone who has an interest. To anyone who is interested. And guess what? God knows who's interested and God knows who's positive. And you will be aware of that too. So, and we've got to stop here, but we're going to talk about this last part, because if we leave this part, we're going to flub up the whole thing. We've got to do this with gentleness and respect for people. We've got to do it with gentleness. You know how easy it is to just take this last part off? It's easy. So those are what we'll talk about when we come back. We've got to be gentle with people, and we've got to, which by the way includes patience with all their quirks, all their no manners, all their whatever gets under your skin, all their differences from you, all the disagreements that you have with their way of thinking and their life and the things that they do, all that. Got to be gentle and have respect for them. Have respect for someone's position because they have a soul and that Christ died for them. Not about what they've done or what they're doing. You realize that has nothing to do with their salvation? Nothing. Nothing. At all. I mean, sometimes these words are foreign from Christians' minds when it comes to witnessing for Christ. Gentleness and respect. They can't respect anybody that's different from them. Seriously? Jesus would have never went to the places he did if he didn't have respect for other people that were different from him. He wouldn't have done it. So if we're going to be Christ-like, you got to be able to have respect and realize and understand why you respect that person. It's because your priority and your focus is on Christ, because you've sanctified him, put him number one in your life. That's why you can have respect for him. He died for them too. I would say that's pretty important. That's pretty important. So with that being said, we're at the bottom here. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for just allowing us to see more and more of your plan. That, you know, we sometimes are aware of these things that we should do and we know that we should be doing, but it's always refreshing to hear it. Not only again, but to see the insights of where we can make corrections and to adjust things in our own personal lives and ultimately make the application to glorify you and to see people be saved and to see the glory go to you and Jesus Christ. We thank you so much for everything that you do. In Christ's name, amen.